On January 8th, to the surprise of almost everyone, the United States Olympic Committee named Boston the U.S. bid city for the 2024 Summer Games. The next morning, before a packed house, a who's who of powerful people gathered for a triumphant press conference. Politicians and bid leaders talked about embracing the immense opportunity before the city.
Boston has a vision for a new kind of Olympics, a vision that challenges the norm, encourages creative solutions, that embodies the community spirit that makes the games what they are.
That's Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, and like the rest of the speakers that day, he didn't seem worried about the road ahead. Fast forward to July. Calls for the United States Olympic Committee to pull the bid from Boston grew louder every day. A big International Olympic Committee meeting in Kuala Lumpur looms next week as a critical test. Some say if IOC members give the Boston bid negative reviews, the USOC could decide to spike it. Even if that doesn't happen, veteran Olympics reporter Phil Hirsch of the Chicago Tribune doesn't expect the Boston bid to survive much longer.
The most amazing thing to me is that it's been one misstep after another. They don't ever seem to have gotten the message, and they don't ever seem to have stopped the bleeding.
But wait, isn't Boston a sports town? The Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics, and Bruins often dominate conversation. 500,000 turn out every year to watch the Boston Marathon. Surely the city would be excited to host the games. Think again, says Chris Dempsey of the opposition group No Boston Olympics.
Well, the USOC clearly underestimated the people of Greater Boston. They thought because we are a rabid sports town that we would just accept this idea. I think they didn't understand that our passion for sports is rivaled only by our passion for a good, healthy debate.
So I asked Rich Davey, CEO of the local bid committee called Boston 2024, why is selling the Olympics so hard?
Big things are hard. That's what makes them worth it. I think it's hard to get people to focus on a big vision for the city that's 10, 15 years away when, you know, we've got things in front of us today. And we've got to do a better job, too.
Low poll numbers have become the biggest challenge for bid leaders. In the latest statewide survey, only 42% support the games. But the bid committee likes pointing to nationwide numbers. Here's Steve Pagliuca, who's recently added bid chairman to his titles of Bain Capital Managing Director and Boston Celtics co-owner.
We've looked at recent surveys. I think they said 90% of people in America would like the Olympic Games to come back.
89, but 89? That's quibbling, yeah. I guess.
Well, wait a minute. I'm being hyperbolic here. Let me round. 89.2% would like it to be in America.
But 61% said they wouldn't want to have it in their own backyard.
Yes, and again, that is colored, and hopefully that'll change over time. I think the 2020 agenda was a response to that. Those 30% those 28% that say, gee, not in my backyard, because of the issues that have happened on previous Olympics, with the exception of the United States.
Whenever they can, Boston bid leaders also like mentioning Agenda 2020, a package of IOC reforms designed to rein in costs and encourage the use of temporary and existing venues. Many Londoners probably wish the new guidelines were in place when the 2012 Summer Games ran more than $10 billion over budget. But Davey likes to highlight the positive.
I think my favorite poll of all is when Londoners were asked 1 year after the 2012 Games if Rio was failing so badly, if London should host the Games again, overwhelming support to host the Games again, upwards of 70 to the 80%.
Mayor Walsh would like to see support for a Boston Olympics reach the 70% range. But with poll numbers holding steady at around 40%, the mayor's ambition seems like pure fantasy. So what went wrong in Boston? It seems Boston bid leaders never really stopped to consider that people would question the bid the way they have. Looking back, Boston 2024 architect David Manfredi says he shouldn't have been surprised.
I'm not sure many people expected that Boston would be designated by the USOC. So it went from, that's interesting, to, oh my God, this might actually happen. And we need to know a lot more about this before we willingly come along.
At community meetings, Bostonians lined up to voice their fears. They didn't want a privately funded group of multimillionaires to control the city's future through the Olympics.
So I feel like I've been completely left out. And if I don't get to vote on this, I will remember this during the next local election.
Essentially, what I'd like to know is what will it take to stop this?
Can you expand on why democracy doesn't matter in this context and why you're proud of that?
I can't comment on that now. I'm going to have to take a look at what you're talking about. I'm not familiar with that, to be candid with. Okay, thank you.
Responding to public criticism, the Boston bid went from a walkable venue plan to one with venues spread across the state. Bid leaders also agreed to hold a statewide referendum on the games in 2016, if the bid survives that long. And earlier this week, A political-style debate about the Boston Olympics was broadcast live on local radio and TV. Sports economist Andrew Zimbalist spoke for the opposition.
Well, in fact, I think most of the numbers that I look at reflect drunken optimism. They don't reflect conservatism.
I couldn't disagree with
that
more.
Let me talk a little bit, Dan.
The joke among reporters who cover the games is that dictators and authoritarian regimes put on the best Olympics. In 2008 in Beijing, I rarely needed to leave the Olympic Park. Seven venues, including the main stadium, aquatic center, and gymnastics arena, were conveniently clustered together. Unlike Boston, Beijing organizers didn't have to ask permission when planning venue locations and transportation. The same could be said for Sochi. But that was all before Agenda 2020. The IOC says they want a different kind of games, and Paliuka thinks Boston's bid, which he sees as fiscally responsible, can show the way.
We will be a shining beacon of kind of the power of sports to be transformational for communities. No great progress is accomplished without some hard work and some fear.
And then there is the tough task of meeting the IOC's demands for financial guarantees, transportation improvements, and facilities. For all its reforms and new guidelines, the IOC remains committed to staging an outsized sports spectacle in a different city every 2 years. Dempsey of No Boston Olympics says it's too much to ask.
The IOC has a 19th century business model that they are imposing on 21st century cities like Boston. They're able to do that because there is still this sense out there that it somehow leaves cities better off.
Boston 2024 still believes its problems can be fixed. Steve Paliuka is confident new venue locations and greater transparency will change opinions.
As our surveys show, there's about still 40, 45% of the people who don't vote yes, but they want to see more information. They're undecided. And when we get in front of those people, we turn most of those into a yes. So I think the polls will take care of themselves. Everyone has a fear of the unknown. So our job is to make the unknown known, and that's what we're doing right now.
Now the Boston Bid's main pitch is, the more you know what we're planning, the more you'll like it. It sounds more like desperation than a catchy slogan. But maybe Phil Hirsch, who's been to 17 Olympics, has an idea to turn the bid around.
Give every citizen of Massachusetts $1 million check. I don't see them turning around public opinion.
6.7 million people at $1 million each? Now that's a cost overrun.